The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriv, king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Shurpanakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravan to kill him like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. Hare Krishna. So on the occasion of the installation of the deity of Lord Ram, in Ayodhya, I have been requested to speak on Ramayana, and it's obviously a very, very important event, and everyone was very enthusiastic, chanting Ram, and never seen before such enthusiasm, and indeed it signals a resurgence of interest in Sanatana Dharma, in Hindu religion, as it has been predicted in the scriptures by our acharyas also, that there is going to be a golden age lasting for 10,000 years, which began 500 years ago with the advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can see that the Lord has indeed empowered many personalities who may not be connected to our sampradaya. However, they are capable of great tasks and have worked very hard to retrieve or acquire the place which is the actual birth site of Lord Ram, and have the deity installed there, something which was probably considered an impossible feat, but it has become possible. And by the grace of the Lord, most impossible things can become possible. So definitely we are seeing a renaissance of Sanatana Dharma, and this is the right opportunity to give that knowledge, the understanding to the followers, not just followers of Sanatana Dharma, to one and all, so that people rise over ritualism and engage in true spirit and true culture of Sanatana. Certainly there are so many temples, isn't it? There is the land of temples. In Vrindavan alone there are 5,000 temples. Just in Vrindavan. It's not Brajmandal. Just in Vrindavan, one forest there are 5,000 temples. You cannot even calculate the number of temples all over India. Every few hundred meters you go, you'll find a temple. But somehow that interest is there in one temple. When in fact it is said that Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Kashi, Kanchi, Ravantika, Puri, Dwaravatau, Chaiva, Saptaita, Mokshadayika. the place of Ayodhya is such, not just Ayodhya, Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Haridwar, Kashi, Kanchi, Avantika, Ujjain, Puri, Dwarka, Saptaita Mokshadayika. There is no need to do any extraneous effort to attain mukti. Simply you have to go put your foot on that soil and you get mukti. That's how potent these places are. It is the self-same abode of the Lord which is brought down when the Lord appears to perform his leelas. But we can see that most of the temples are being neglected and they are in shambles more or less. Open sewers. I personally fell into a sewer in Vrindavan. Nala. I was doing my parikrama. Didn't see, put my foot and it went right up. The state of the rivers in India. Take Yamuna, you take Ganga. There's hardly any Yamuna water left. Most of it is taken out in Delhi and all sewage and factory effluents are dumped inside. What you get actually in Vrindavan is probably sewage water and very little, 1-3% of Yamuna, actually Yamuna, and 99% are effluents. Still remember years ago when I was about to take a bath, the water was black. And it was a trickle, basically, at Keshighata. But somehow devotee said that, you know, you should nevertheless take a bath and, you know, it is pure and... But you struggle to think that the most holiest of all holy places, Braj, the most holiest of all rivers, Yamuna, Ganga Shataguna Praya, just that, 100 times more pure than Ganges is Yamuna. 1,000 times. But see the state of affairs of these places. So, definitely today we are very interested in Ayodhya, whatever it is. But the fact that the other places are neglected, most indicate there is some kind of room for improvement. And hopefully with this resurgence of interest in Sanatana Dharma, the establishment will and should take interest in rejuvenating all these holy places. You know, clean up the mess, and clean up the rivers, make them, give them a facelift basically, so that people will be attracted from all over the world, not just Hindus, but to come and see the glory of Sanatana Dharma as it exists in India. When you come from Chhatrapati Shivaji Terminus, I come in the night after my program in Navi Mumbai, so you see the way they have lit up, so beautiful. You might have seen the changing LED lights and everything. Makes you want to see and stand there and observe. Wow, what a beauty. And it is not even actually our history, in that sense, not the true identity of India. That is the reminiscence of the colonial, British colonial past of India. The real history, the real India lies in the spiritual tradition, in the amazing temples and the amazing architecture built hundreds, thousands of years. And they had actually no technologies, modern technologies that is, you know, no CAD, CAM and, you know, designing and, you know, and all those huge cranes to lift huge blocks of stones. And still the ancients have been successful in building such awe-inspiring temple structures that leaves you in utter amazement. But how many people actually know about it? They are lying in ruins, shambles actually. I take the international boys who come, you know, from abroad every year. I've had the opportunity since the last 14 years, I've been taking them to Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, Tirupati, Kanchipuram, Srirangam, Rameshwaram, Kanyakumari. So, I've seen that how much it inspires these boys. I personally say it's too much for me, I can't do so much of traveling, it's too much. But they say, no, somehow you have to take us. They're not satisfied, they're just going to Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri. They want to go all the south. And you go to south and you'll see those places have been untouched by the invaders, Mughal invaders. And many times, you know, when we go inside the temple, and me personally, being a lover of art and engineering and architecture, I am in utter amazement on seeing those amazing architectures and the structures that they build on the murals of the temples. That these boys ask me, that, Prabhuji, aap pehli baar aaye ho kya yahan pe? I said, no, I've been coming since many years. But still I cannot stop myself from being amazed. And you see the depth of the architecture. They're not just geometric spheres and cubes, and modern architecture is all about geometry. Cubes, spheres. But these are, you know, gargoyles and in some places, like if you go to South India, Suchindram, you know, you find temples with musical pillars made out of stone. You tap them and they give you sargam. Different pillars, sa, re, ga, ma. Unbelievable how thousands of years ago they could build it. I mean, I was, you know, in Scotland, there is a fort known as the Edinburgh Castle. I'm sure that many of you all must have seen it. So I thought, so let's go and check it out. So I told the temple president, shall we? So he said, why not? He took his car, his wife packed up a box of chocolates and, you know, sandwiches, and so we went. And so I volunteered to, you know, kind of pay the entry fee at least in the parking space. So the parking itself cost 1800 rupees for 2 hours. And the entry fee for each person is about 1500, 1800 rupees. So a family of four goes, it's like 6000 rupees. And you go inside and you see a fort which is about 830 years old. But once you enter, it is a very amazingly maintained, complete stone fort. And people from all over the world come to see that. How, you know, that it's so attractive. And then I was thinking that, see, what you can do with a fort which is 800 years old, and how much you can do with all these amazing monuments we have in India, all these temples that we have. You make each and every temple, you see, go to Rameshwaram, you see, the world's largest corridor. I mean, go to the altar inside, the Lakshmi, the Parvati altar inside. Mesmerizing is not the word. So, if the world would know about these places, how much, not just the spiritual inspiration, but also materially, even if you speak materially, it is the source of great foreign exchange. People will know about ancient traditions in India, the culture, Sanatana Dharma. They'll want to learn more about Gita, Bhagavatam. How is it that, you know, the scriptures could inspire such art, such technologies? So, we see that these temples, why is it so important to have the deities installed in the actual birth site of Lord Ram? Some people even argue, but yes, it is important. Because these places, these temples, they are responsible for preserving traditions across generations. They stand for the traditional beliefs. And that's why, understanding these things, the marauding Mughal invaders, the first thing they do is desecrate temples and deface deities. Why? Because they know that is their way, maybe, of asserting their dominance on the subjugated people and insulting them and eroding their local belief systems. But also, they understand that these are the things that are responsible for carrying on the traditions. So they had this faith, and therefore they would go out of their way to do all these things. You know, years ago, somebody sent me a message, a kind of a joke. That once there was a church, and after some time, somebody opened a bar opposite the church. They didn't like it, and they were praying, "Oh God, why have these people come here? It's a holy place," and they opened. Something happened, there was a storm and there was a lightning, and the bar, which just recently opened, caught fire and the whole thing was gutted. So the owner of that bar, he lodged a complaint, a court case against the church, saying that these people, they prayed, and because of which our bar has burnt to ashes. So the church said, no, it is not our prayers. So the judge is saying that it is very difficult to make a decision, because here is a owner of a bar who believes in the power of prayer, and here is a whole church who don't believe in the power of prayer. Irony of life sometimes. So here are the marauding Mughal invaders who actually believe that these edifices of spiritual significance have an impact on the lives of people. They believed in it, and therefore they broke them to build their structures. But we, as Hindus, we have left our temples to gather dust. I mean, in Sri Rangam temple, they take 10 rupees or 5 rupees as an entry fee. Why? Because people have stopped giving donations. That they have to actually charge for getting into the temple. Because previously, the pratha was, when you go and take darshan, do some, get a blessing of the Lord, you naturally give something. You take something, you give something. But because people have stopped, and therefore, unfortunately, in order just to maintain those huge structures, it seems that they are charging something, 5 or 10 rupees, which is nothing compared to, as I said, it costs, if you want to see a fort, it costs about 1500 rupees abroad. And here you are in the precincts of this amazing, amazing temple of Kanchipuram and all of these temples. And what are you paying, 10 rupees? So unfortunately, we do not believe, somehow, the irony that we as Hindus, but anyway, somehow yesterday it garnered a lot of interest in the people, and which is good, and hopefully this enthusiasm should carry on, and that's why Prabhupada said that we should preach, because we'll find a lot of temples, but why are they abandoned, why are they neglected? It's because people lack the understanding. So Prabhupada said, in every house you go, Hindu's house you go, you will find a temple, but you will not find a Veda. You ask anybody, Veda hai kya, tumhare ghar pe, Gita hai kya, Bhagavat hai kya. And even if you find, they'll say, Prabhuji padha hua hai, udhar yatharoop padha hua hai. Kyun yatharoop padha hua hai? Kyunki udhar likha hua hai. Gita yatharoop. It is lying as it is. People don't read. And even if they read, they can't understand, unfortunately. Prabhupada said the temples should be like classrooms. There should be a classroom in every temple, where when people come to take darshan, they sit actually. That was a pratha. When you go to the temple, you should sit for 2 minutes before you leave. What is the meaning of sitting in the temple? It is to sit and hear. Because the Lord is speaking to you. When you pray to the Lord listens to you. But when you sit and you hear from the Gita, that's the Lord speaking to you. That is a real temple. Otherwise, traditionally people go, come in, go out. Unfortunately, today even in our Vrindavan garden, they are putting CCTV, unfortunately, because people find it so cozy and comfortable that they are doing unnecessary things there. College students. So they don't understand, basically. Temple is not a place for them. But, so unless people don't sit and hear, they may not understand. And therefore the understanding of what is Gita. That we should rise above ritualism and question that why we are doing what we are doing. And not just, like even like sometimes we do, I mean people may be offended when I say these things, but then, like for example, do paraya, Gita paraya. And I was telling Prabhu also that we do paraya. Okay, we read all the 700 verses of Gita. But do we really understand the verses? Do we have that knowledge of Sanskrit? Then when we read, okay, Gurvarthe Chattarajyo Vicharadhanuvanam Padmapadhyam Priyaya, when we are reading all these things, are you able to understand? But when you read, say, a translation, his eyes are generating centers of all kinds of forms and they glitter and illuminate. Now when I read it, you will understand. Because you will have studied English. When I read in Hindi, you will understand. You studied Hindi. Or maybe you are Gujarati, you can understand Gujarati. So the tradition of Parayan was, you know, when people could understand Sanskrit and when they would read it, they would understand it. Just by that reading. And the 700 verses, they've understood, they've grasped it, knowledge. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram hi vidyate. Krishna says that there's nothing superior to knowledge. What are you going to accomplish through simple rote ratta marne se? What are you going to accomplish? So, okay, then if you have done the Parayan, which is good, because you have received the blessings of the Lord, at least 2 hours you have not sat in front of the TV and watched a cricket match or, you know, some, or watched something or gone to the beach to roam around or, you know, had an ice cream or something like that. At least you have sat in front of the Gita and Bhagavad and you have done Parayan, which is very, very good, laudable, because any which ways it will benefit you, your soul is listening when the vibrations are there. But, wouldn't it be nice if you also understand? Wouldn't it be nice also if you read all the 700 verses in the language that you know? Because that mercy that you get by repeating the verses should lead you to trying to understand what you have just read. And if you say that, okay, I have no time to go home and read, or read it there, it's a go home and read. Because it may get stretched, like in another 2 hours, it's a total of 4, 5 hours. Okay, theek hai, go home and read. Okay, if you cannot go home and read, if that's the excuse, then fine, then just read it in Hindi, or read it in Gujarati, or read it in, at least you understand, that's the words, the acharyas have already translated it. What is the point of simply being ritualistic? Oh, okay, see. No, we have to wait. But what is the point? The Lord can understand all languages. And whatever language you understand, you read it in that and understand and apply it. So therefore Prabhupada insisted that, we have to understand the essence. And therefore Prabhupada especially emphasized the importance of book distribution. And Lord Ram and Ramayana is actually the foundation. Lord Ram is very intrinsic to our culture. And, like our Acharya says that Lord Ram appeared 17.28 million years ago. We may think, many times even in ISKCON people say that in every Treta Yuga Lord appears, but in Rupa Goswami explains in Laghu Bhagavata Amrit that Kaushalyayam Dasharatham Tretayam Avirbhavat Chaturvimshe Chatur Yuge Bharatena Sumitrayaha Nandanebhyaha Cha Samyutaha Nandana Abhyam Chasam Yutaha. That means Chaturvimshe Chatur Yuge. Chaturvimshe, 24th millennium of the Chatur Yuga. Now we are in the 28th millennium. of Vaivasvata Manu. Brahma has crossed his 50 years, and so calculating, we are in the 28th. So that means now we are in Kali Yuga, and we, or generally people may think that Dwapar and then Treta, so the Lord appeared in Treta, but Rupa Goswami has something to say that it is not this Treta, and not the previous, not the previous to that, not the previous to that too, but also the 24th. So we may think it is about, if we calculate, 869,000 years ago, but not even that. So when you approximately, you'll get about 17.28 million years. That's actually my calculation. You can do your own, approximately. That's how old Lord the Ramayana is. That's how ancient the history is. And so here in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, there is this 9th canto, 10th and the 11th chapter has been dedicated to Ramayana. So only 2 chapters. Why? Because Ramayana has been spoken since ages. Parikshit Maharaj and all of them have been hearing it multiple times over. So Shukdev Goswami did not think it necessary to elaborate so much. So therefore, he has encapsulated in 2 chapters. And not just that, in fact, he has encapsulated even these 2 chapters in this one verse. Summary and then again summarized. Guruvarthe tyaktarajyo vyacharad anuvanam padmapadhyam priyaya pani sparshakshamabhyam mrijata patharajo yoharindranujabhyam vairupyachurpanakyaha priyavirharusharo pitabhru vijrimba trastavir badhsetu khaladavadahanah kosalendro vatanna. In one verse, we already read the translation. He has encapsulated the entire Ramayana. Because people in Kali Yuga, they don't have that much of time, or rather interest, we should say interest, not time. So he has. Similarly also, Brahma, when he inspired Valmiki to compose Ramayana, he said, okay, don't compose so many verses, because in Brahma Lok, Brahma has 1 crore verses. So he told Valmiki, you compose 24,000 verses. So that's what Valmiki did. 6 cantos, Balakand, Ayodhya Kand, Aranya Kand, Kishkinda Kand, Sundara Kand, Yuddha Kand, and they say Uttar Kand also, but whatever. So in 6 books he has compiled, because there was not much point in elaboration, how much can you read? So therefore now in this verse, acharyas have again compiled it even still further, that even if you miss the 2 chapters, even if you just read this verse, that is enough. So Guru Arthi, for the sake of making the command of his guru-like father, Guru Arthi Chakta Rajyo, Lord Ram has given up his kingdom. Vyacharad Anuvanam Padma Padhyam Priyaya, and he went walking in the forest, barefooted, along with his Priyaya, along with Mother Sita. With that bare feet, Pani Sparshakshamabhyam, that means that feet which is so soft that even when Mother Sita would touch that feet, it would turn red. Lord Ram's feet were so soft that when Mother Sita would touch it, it would turn red. But with that same feet, Lord Ram was walking barefoot all over Bharatvarsha. Pani Sparshakshamabhyam, Mrijata Patharojo Yo Harindranujabhyam, and along with monkeys like Sugriv or Hanuman and Anujabhyam, his younger brother Lakshman. And then finally he meets Shurpanaka. Vairupyat Shurpanakyaha Priya Viraha Rusharopita Bhru Vijrimba, and he insulted and chopped off his the nose of Shurpanaka and the ears of Shurpanaka and insulted her. And as a result of which she complained to Ravan, and being infatuated by the description of Shurpanaka, of Mother Sita, that lusty Rakshasa, he comes and he kidnaps Mother Sita. And having lost Mother Sita, Shurpanakha, and he's so trastavir baddha setu, and out of his anguish, he is so angry that even the ocean begins to boil, and even ocean allows Lord Ram to build the setu across the ocean in order to cross over to kill, to wage a war against the Rakshasas and to kill Ravan and to retrieve Sita. We see the plot of Ramayana is very simple. Very simple. The plot is very simple, but the message is very deep. And in fact, Ramayana was written by Valmiki. In fact, he got this knowledge from Brahma and Narada when he asked this question, that who is that man who is ideal in his values, who always speaks the truth, who is always obedient to his superiors? Who is that man who is perfect in his conduct? Who is that man who is extremely valorous, extremely powerful, but at the same time who has conquered his anger? Who is that man who is most handsome and beautiful to look at? Paraphrasing, obviously, I don't have the Ramayana in front of me, but so these were the questions which inspired Narada to speak Ramayana to Valmiki, and the Ramayana was spoken. And we have to understand that, you know, when Valmiki, he asked before, Valmiki was not Valmiki. In fact, he was Ratnakar. He was a hunter. He was one of the lowest of mankind. He was killing animals for a living. And he once came upon Narada and said that, why are you doing these sinful activities? And he said, well, this is my profession. I do it for a living. He says, but there is so much of sin in what you are doing. He says, it doesn't matter. I mean, we are sharing it with our family. We have to feed our family. Narada said, are you sure? Are you confident that the people with whom you are sharing the proceeds are happy to also share with the karmas? And he goes and he asks his family that, you know, there's a lot of sin in what I'm doing. That's what the sage says. So what do you think? Are you able to also share, willing to share the karmas? So they say, no, no. Why should we? And then he experiences a transformation of heart when he realizes that I've been indulging in sin all throughout my life. So what should I do, O Narada? And then Narada shows him the path of tapasya. And he sits in meditation for 60,000 years. Tapasya for 60,000 years. So much so that ants build a hill over his body. And therefore Valmiki comes from the word Valmikam, which means anthills. The hills, the mounds which have holes in them, which are also considered as the ears of the earth. Which is also symbolic, because who else can know greater than Mother Earth? Anything that happens on earth is known by Mother Earth, and because he has arisen from Valmikam, he's in a way the son of Mother Earth, and also he's also bound or destined to be the knower of the most important occurrences on earth, especially Ramayana. That, so Valmiki, his name became Valmiki from, and again, as we see that the greatest of literatures, Ramayana, you know, was written by who? It was not the birth, it is always the karma which is the deciding factor. The identity, the true identity is the karma only and not the janma. And that we can see from Valmiki. So he became qualified to ask these questions, to do this Brahma Jigyasa from Narada, and he received that empowerment to be able to perceive everything that was going on with Lord Ram and all the personalities who are connected with Lord Ram. Every smile, every gesture, every sitting, standing, moving, every element of Ramayana was now been able to witness by Valmiki. such empowerment Brahma gave him, just as we see in Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya, who was empowered by Veda Vyas to be able to witness live transmission, like we were seeing yesterday, the installation ceremony live, even though it's in Ayodhya, we are sitting here on our mobile phones, we are seeing all those things, but that technology was there even in those days. Here today we are using this yantra technology. In that time it was mantra technology. Any which ways, it serves the same purpose. In fact, far greater. And so Sanjay was able to see what is going on in Kurukshetra, and here Valmiki is able to see what is going on. And Acharyas explain the glory of Ramayana. I mean, what can you speak? I cannot even enter into Ramayana because it's so deep. That's what I've read the verse, and now I've already completed Ramayana. But just to give the, you can't even scratch the surface in 40 minutes. What can you do? But anyways, just to give an introduction, is that he became qualified to hear Ramayana because of his purity. That is how much it takes to become worthy of being an instrument in the hands of God. To do, perform the tapasya, to purify yourself, to be able to write a book. And when he wrote, he did not charge anything, you know, copyrights or anything like that, free to use. If he would have charged copyrights for Ramayana, you know, how much of money he would have made. But it was just all free to use. An original work. Original. Not like what we do in copy and from Google and paste it, you know, here and there and use whatever those things. But it was completely original work. He was able to. And the thing about Ramayana is that it is itihasa. Now the difference between itihasa and purana is that itihasa is written while it is going on, and puranas are written down after the event has occurred. So Valmiki was writing down as and when the things were occurring. And not only that, he trained Brahma's own sons Lav and Kush in the Ramayana. And Lav and Kush goes and speaks the Ramayana to Lord Ram himself. And Lord Ram, he says, amazing, glorious, glorious. And he approves of it. That means the biography of Lord Ram is approved by Lord Ram. So therefore it makes it more authentic. You know, because these boys were brahmacharis raised in the Gurukul of Valmiki. And he, you know, all the great saints were coming and blessing them. Some people were brahmacharis. So they, some were giving him loincloth, some were giving him dhoti, some were giving him umbrella, some was giving him kamandalu, some was giving him some brahmachari stick. And so one sadhu did not have anything to give him. So he blessed him saying that the Ramayana that you are speaking about will be heard by the subject of Ramayana, by the protagonist of Ramayana. Lord Ram himself will hear and approve of what you are speaking. I have nothing else to give, so here is a blessing. And when Lav and Kush were moving around from place to place singing the glories of Ramayana, at that time Bharat identified him and he went and reported to Lord Ram that there are two boys who are speaking about a story, very interesting, it's attracting so many people in all over Ayodhya. It seems like this is your story. And Ram says, is that so? Okay, and he arranges, alright, so let's hear it, call them. And he arranges for all the people, hundreds and thousands of people assembled in his assembly hall. And Lord Ram is sitting on a throne up above 18 steps on his simhasana. And Lav and Kush is brought and they are speaking to Ramayana. Ramayana begins and it is explained that that is how Lord Ram wanted to hear Ramayana. That more the people, the merrier. Should not be heard alone. There's no fun in it. There are lots of people, then there is excitement. Eh? So Lord Ram actually, he arranged for lots of people, and in the assembly of all the devotees of Lord Ram, they all heard it. And it is explained that he was so excited by hearing the narration that every few hours, Lord Ram would come down one step, one step, one step. And finally, by the time Ramayana was over, he was sitting along with all his subjects. slapping on the thigh of his neighbors, and they also not realizing that it is Lord Ram who has come down. They are also slapping on the thigh of Lord Ram. And he's thinking, whoa, what a point. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So that way, they were relishing Ramayana. So much taste. And that's why the Ramayana is so special. It is because it is approved by Lord Ram himself, and it has been recorded by Valmiki just at that time, and therefore it is absolutely, and we follow Valmiki. There are so many other versions of Ramayana, Tulsidas, Ramcharitmanas and things like that. So, and obviously, yes, we know then the story begins that Valmiki is going into to perform his ablutions, and he sees a crane, two cranes engaged in love making, and just at that time a hunter comes there and he shoots one of the cranes. A male crane was hit and he was dying, and immediately this Valmiki, who was a hunter himself, now was afflicted with sorrow and grief. Just imagine, that's what bhakti does to a person. That's what I was sharing yesterday also. I was speaking on this subject, that you know, the difference between a butcher and a saint, what is the difference? It's compassion, isn't it? I mean, a butcher is cutting the meat of an animal, but he does not realize that how much it must have pained this, you know, animal, because he's so careful when he's cutting, he's not chopping his own finger, right? He could have just gone on and chop. Why doesn't he do that? He knows it hurts, you know. But he's careful about, you know, his own finger, but he's mercilessly just chopping a meat. And why? Because he lacks compassion. He does not realize that how much of pain this animal must have experienced in order to give its meat for me to consume and to sell and earn my livelihood. So Valmiki is filled with compassion and grief. And immediately out of that grief, a curse manifests. And he says, Ma pratishtham tvam gamah shashvati samah yat kraunchamithunarekam avadihi kama mohitam. Ma pratishtham, never will you get any happiness, any peace in your life till the end of time. For what you have done, you have killed these innocent, you know, this krauncha, these cranes, when they were engaged in the process of mating. And immediately he was taken aback and he was wondering that why did I do this? Why did I curse? Rishis are not meant to engage or indulge in people's activities. People enjoy and suffer according to their karmas. The crane must have died because of his karma. I mean, this hunter has killed the crane and that's his karma and he's going to suffer for it. Why have I got to indulge in this? Rishis are not supposed to be engaged in this. And while he was just pondering that why did I do this? And then immediately Brahma appears to him and he says, don't worry, what you have spoken is not a curse, but the first verse of Ramayana. In fact, this verse is actually the complete summarization of the whole Ramayana. Ma actually does not mean no. In Sanskrit, Ma also means no. But Ma also means Mother, Lakshmi. Ma Nishad. Nishad also means Lord Vishnu, one who has entered into everything. Ma Nishat Pratishtham Tvam Gamaha. So actually this verse by Sandeep Chhed, and you know, applying the rules of grammar, the Acharyas have, the Brahma has actually told him that this is the entire Ramayana. And says, Samaksharai Chaturbihi Yaha Padai Gito Maharshana Sa Anubhyaharanad Bhuyah Shokah Shlokatva Magataha Samaksharai Chaturbihi. This, what came out from your mouth, having equal number of letters, four-footed, having been chanted repeatedly, so anubhyaharanad bhuyah, shokah, which has arisen out of your shoka, grief and sorrow, will be known as shloka. Shokah shlokatvam agatah. So the first shloka was actually composed by Valmiki. We read Gita Shloka. So, therefore the overall mood of Ramayana is that of sorrow and grief. Most of Ramayana is actually very sad. So much of separation. Mother Sita being separated from Lord Ram. Not just once, but twice. First one was still okay, tolerable. Because she knew that she will come back. Therefore, she was an Ashok Vatika. Ashok means no sorrow, no grief. She was happy. She knew he'll come back. Lord Ram is very powerful. In fact, she herself could have just killed Ravan just by holding him. She was so powerful herself. She had lifted that Shiva Dhanush, Shiva Pinak, single-handedly when she was a baby. That Shiva Pinak had to be carried by 300 people. So powerful. But still she thought, why I should kill him? Let my husband come and do the job. So she was very happy there, sitting in Lanka. No problems. But the second separation was really a difficult one. She was abandoned when she was pregnant. And she knew that she will never again come back. And so therefore, Shokaha, the overall mood of Ramayana is that of sorrow. And Ramayana prepares the living beings for every eventuality. Guru of Lord Ram says that, you know, prepare, do your brahmacharya practices properly. Sleep on the floor and what brahmacharis do, because that is what you will be destined for in the future. Because that's what he did 14 years, you know, traveling around in the forest. If you don't have that practice in Gurukul, it is very difficult to do it. So, Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in one lecture that many times when we go for yatras, and sometimes there are difficulties, but the brahmacharis don't have so much of a problem, but sometimes the visitors do have some problems. Because they're used to comfort and luxury and they complain, humko room nahi diya, humko AC nahi chal raha, humara garam pani. So, kind of things. So, but a person who's used to performing austerities, because life can throw all kinds of challenges at you. One moment you're karodapati, next day you may be rodapati. Who knows? And that's what happened even in the case of Lord Ram. Through his own example, Apani Achari Prabhu Jivere Shekhai. Lord Ram personally has appeared to show what is dharma. Rama Dharmavan Vigraha. He is the embodiment of dharma. Moksha Adashthatra Paratva. So therefore, Ramayana is very, very instructive and it serves like a handbook for values, morality, dedication, obedience, dharma. And therefore, it is our responsibility to spread this message, the understanding of Ramayana, the true meaning of it, by way of preaching the message as Srila Prabhupada has presented in this very amazing time and period where people are taking, more and more people are taking interest. In fact, so many people are coming even to our temple these days. There's hardly any space to walk around. So many people, especially the youths are coming more and more from colleges nearby and everything. So definitely this is a golden period and we should take the maximum advantage. And Mahaprabhu has given us a strategy of to preach. The best strategy is to chant Naam Sankirtanam. Yes, Sarva Papa Pranashanam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Shrimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Shrimad Ramayana Mahapurana ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.